Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
She's your girlfriend. You take care of her.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Namey Network. To find more from us, check out the website, themainnamey.com, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themainnamey. We're also now a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gbnation.com. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Myers. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So I'll get deeper into this in a couple minutes, but I just have a quick question for you. Have either of you ever done the Regal 40X stuff or heard of it?
No, no. I'm a company man. I stick to AMCs.
To the moon, right?
As a shareholder, yeah, I can't. I can't turn my back on AMC.
All right, then I'll describe it later. But I just thought I'd ask beforehand to know how much detail I need to go into.
Okay. But before we get into that, this week we have another guest, and this week she is part of the Game Vault podcast, as well as a Twitch streamer under Roxy Foxy, and Dan's, and the better half of Dan, Jen. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
And this time you're not a hostage.
I wasn't a hostage last time, for the record. I was sick.
Do you want to hear something funny, guys? On the way home, I gave her a call. As a good husband, I let my wife know when I'm on my way, so she knows that I'm not up to any funny business. Straight home. And okay. so she goes.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah. So I said, "Are you ready for the podcast?" She's like, "Oh, I'm not feeling well today." Like, she's already trying to weasel her way
no,
out.
No, I would never.
No, yeah,
I would never.
She's got the Comic-Con hangover.
Yeah, I think I caught a cold from Comic-Con. Legit.
It's possible. So tell us a little bit about your Twitch stream, because I don't think the last time it was super up and running, because it's been like almost 2 years. I don't even know when it was.
Pre-pandemic.
Yep. I was going to say, I think it was the before times. I wasn't streaming yet. So I like to call myself a horror variety streamer, but we all know I really just play Dead by Daylight and Phasmo currently for the most part. I like anything horror, really. So if anyone likes watching horror games and you want to come and hang out, it's a pretty cool stream. I have a great community. We're all chill. We like to make fun of each other and laugh and talk about food. So if any of that sounds like something you are interested in, please feel free to stop on by. Everyone is welcome. And for the month of October, I am trying to branch out and play more spooky, scary games. So if anyone has any suggestions for me, I'm happy to take those as well.
Cool. And they can find you at Roxy Foxy, both with two I's, right?
Yep. Roxii Foxii.
Great. Yeah, perfect time, because we're talking about horror movies this week, too. But before we get into this week's movie, what have we watched? So we'll start right with you, Jen. Have you watched anything?
Yes, I wasn't prepared for this question. Let's see. What have we just watched before? I'm going to default to Dan. Yeah, we watched The Host. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It was kind of weird.
It's a monster movie.
It's a Korean monster movie. It's a Korean monster movie. I was kind of on the fence about it because there were times where it was really good, and then it got a little goofy. So I'm a little unsure about it. I recently watched Malignant. We've watched Halloween, the newest Halloween, right?
Yeah, the one.
Yep.
Previous.
Yep. I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. I know I'm like way behind the eight ball on that one. But...
Oh, so a documentary, I see.
Yes, the documentary.
Nice to sprinkle that in.
I'm pretty sure that's it. I mean, we've been watching horror movies on and off whenever we can. Sure. But I think those are like the biggest ones that I've been watching.
I watched Aliens. You watched a
bit of Aliens. We watched a bit of Aliens too.
Happy Death Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was the other big one I've been waiting to see. For some reason, I didn't see it when it came out.
Yeah. It sucks because I've been watching some stuff on YouTube TV. Like Aliens was on YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. Happy Death Day. Child's Play 2. But they have some of the Hammer films with like Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Oh, okay.
And not MC Hammer.
I was thinking, are there MC Hammer films?
No, it's like it's pre-Madea. That was MC Hammer. I wanted to watch some of those, but they're not on yet. But they still have the I guess they have like the logo for it, or you know, it's saying coming soon. But I would love to watch those. I've never seen them, but. I know that they're very gory and full of, you know, it's your run of the mill, like B horror movies. You know, you got the gore, you got boobs. It's just, that's what Halloween's all about, guys.
Gore and boobs.
Gore and boobs.
You might want to check HBO Max might have some.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Check that. Check Tubi as well.
Oh yeah. Tubi's a gold mine.
Yeah.
Tubi's a gold mine for garbage, which is nice.
Yeah.
So that covers both of you guys. Dan, you didn't watch anything in addition?
No, that was
it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we've all been connected, I guess. So
yeah. Mark, I'm gonna go first because I think you have the one of any interest, really. I just got a bunch of shitty horror movies that I watched this week. I watched Jack Frost, the Shannon Elizabeth starring Jack Frost. Terrible. Creepshow 2, I watched. Worse. Bride of Reanimator. I watched a lot of sequels to movies that I like more. So Creepshow 2, Bride of Reanimator, VHS 94, which is the new Shudder release.
Nice.
Man, dying to see that.
Yeah.
It's about 50% of a good movie.
Oh, no.
That's upsetting.
That is upsetting.
Well, it's, you know, it's a, an anthology. So, you know, there's always hit and miss. But I think the first two were pretty good. And then the third one is... I think it starts to go downhill right around the midpoint of the third one.
Mm. Okay.
And then I wasn't a huge fan of the fourth one. And the wraparound story, I didn't like that much either, because I didn't really understand it, to be honest with you. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But that was like that one. I watched that. And then I finished up. I watched White Zombie, the 1930s White Zombie with Bela Lugosi. I got to stop watching these 1930s movies thinking I'm going to enjoy them, because they just feel super old. And then the last movie I watched was Phantasm 2, which is Phantasm, but what if they took a road trip in the middle of the movie? And that's it. So
in Phantasm, I'm sorry to interrupt. In Phantasm, I know we covered it last year, correct?
Yes. Yes.
There was basically like two, right? That's the movie that has two scenes, pretty much. It's like the graveyard and some like crappy house.
They go to the from the house to the funeral home.
Right.
And then back again. Yeah.
So this one just adds a little mini road trip.
Yep. They got like it's a road movie, more or less. And Reg, the former ice cream man, is like the hero.
Reg.
And the ball on this movie to just be like, yeah, our hero is going to be a middle-aged, out of shape guy with a skullet that in the first movie was an ice cream truck driver. And we're going to do this for five movies. He's going to be our star for five movies.
Oh, God.
Just God bless him.
Can I ask really quick, what is a skullet and do I actually want to know?
A skullet is essentially a Ben Franklin haircut. So it's bald on top, but you got the long hair in the back.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for the guys that are just holding on to the long hair.
Got it. Back. Okay.
Yeah. More recently known as the Hulk Hogan.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Hulk Hogan's had a skullet. I don't know if he still does. I haven't seen his hair recently. But yeah, that's a skullet. Okay, Mark, you've got the big one. So why don't you tell us what you saw?
So I actually watched two movies this week. So I'll start off with the smaller one. I rewatched Black Widow because it came on Disney Plus. Still as solid of a movie as when we first talked about it. Not spectacular, but still Florence Pugh steals that movie. I did notice one thing that I don't know if you guys remember or anything. I didn't realize that they also had the mom do the pose at one point when she lands from something. So I thought that was a neat trick that they had all three of the women do it at one point. But yeah, nothing really spectacular. Just went to point out that movie is just fine, and I can't wait for the Hawkeye series to see what Florence Pugh is in it, because I'm assuming she's in it. But the big one, as Ant mentioned, I did go see the latest Bond movie, No Time to Die. But I saw it in Regal 40X, which, for those of you that don't know, that's the one that sort of, the chairs move around with the action, and it sort of vibrates, and for this one, at least, this is my first 40X. When he was getting shot, it would have little pressure points that would hit you in the back to do that. There's supposed to be stuff where water sprays on you when water's spraying on screen. But I don't know if they didn't set that up for Bond or there wasn't anything really to do. I only saw that in the preview thing where they show you all the elements in the little minute clip before the movie. It like has air blow on you and lights flash, and it's actually pretty decent. If you can find it for the $16 that I found it for in New York somehow, I would try it for any big car movie, you know.
You're saying it without saying it, Mark. Yes. Any big car movie that makes them, that maybe have released one this year.
Yeah, maybe. And any real action movie that has, you know, any kind of mobility to it. They showed it for... they showed in the preview for Eternals, they did it. There was a 40X preview. The coolest part was they did the horse riding, and that was supposed to simulate that in there. So that was pretty cool. But the movie itself, which is probably the more important thing. I had texted Dan my initial thoughts afterwards that I had it ranked at like a 7 out of 10. After going back and thinking about it for a bit and realizing... you know, some of the things. I think I bump it up to like 7.5, maybe 8. I'll see if on a second viewing. It's definitely probably my third of the five Craig movies. you know, just because Casino Royale and Skyfall I absolutely love. So no slack there. But the interesting thing, and you guys are going to laugh about this, it didn't feel like almost 3 hours, the movie. There. It actually keeps a good pace and keeps scenes interesting to make you not, there's not a whole lot of Bond hashing out a plan, you know, long 20-minute sequences that drag the movie. It's a lot of action in it. Craig's fantastic. This might be one of his better performances of them, probably. Yeah, probably, I'd say behind Casino Royale in terms of the emotion and actual acting he brings, the humanity that he brings to Bond in this movie. The 007 in this movie, because spoilers, they announced that a while ago, is actually pretty good. I don't know if they're going to go forward with her or this was just a one-off for this movie. My favorite thing they did, without giving any spoilers to it, what was it, Ana de Armas?
Mm-hmm.
What she's in the movie is the perfect amount that she's in the movie. She comes in, makes, you know, does a whole segment, very captivating and in there, and then just leaves. So it's just perfect. Couldn't have thought of a better way to just have her be a Bond girl in this movie. It's a great end to, Daniel Craig's tenure. Like the last couple Bonds had sort of not the best final movies, especially Brosnan. Well, his entire trajectory just went downhill after GoldenEye. So I'm really interested to see what they do next with it, because they could go a lot of different ways with it. It is Bond, so the actor, you know, just takes the role. You know, you can do whatever you want in terms of universe and storytelling, depending on if they're going to go younger or older. I do recommend it for Bond fans out there. It is probably, I would put it probably somewhere in my close, if not in the top 10, you know, close to it of Bond films. I'd have to go through them all in my head because there's a lot of Connerys in there. But it is fun. It doesn't feel like 3 hours, especially if you're in a movie theater. There was some freaky stuff with the actual plot of it, in terms of villains and stuff like that. But I don't think that was what this movie was supposed to be about. So, recommend it from someone that has seen, every Bond movie. So,
okay, great. And, that's all we've got this week. We're going to take a quick break and listen to some ads so we can pay those bills and we'll be back with this week's movie. And welcome back. Now it's time to get into this week's movie. And this week was Mark's pick. So Mark, why don't you tell us about the movie you picked this week?
Yeah. So, I had originally, little behind the curtain, we had, Aunt asked us to each pick a Halloween movie like months ago. And I had originally watched Evil Dead, the original Bruce Campbell from, what is it, late 70s, early 80s? 40 years. 81. So I had chosen that because, as everybody knows on this podcast, you know, I don't have a deep well of horror knowledge. And I knew that would be a good one to do on the podcast. And coincidentally enough, which I didn't know at the time, Aunt was able to grab us some tickets to a screening for the 40th anniversary while we were all at New York Comic Con. So it worked out perfectly, the timing here and for this movie in particular. It's probably no surprise to any of you that have listened to us over multiple Halloweens. I am very much, I will watch the 70s, 80s type horror movies that are more practical effects and kind of goofy and silly, rather than the jump scare type of deep psychological horror. So Evil Dead, right down that alley.
Great. You said, was this like the first time you had seen it recently?
Yeah, or... I haven't seen it since, I did it for an old blog that I had wrote like 7-8 years ago. When I was going through a whole bunch of movies that were on Netflix. So this was one of them. So I remembered most of it when I had watched it for that. But I didn't remember, some little sections. And I started confusing it with the newer one in my head when things happen. I was like, oh wait, no, that's in that one. But yeah, I haven't seen it in about 8 years. It was nice to see it on a big screen. That's always interesting to watch older movies, in a theater when they obviously were released before I was even born.
Yeah. I think this is the first movie that we've all watched together while we were doing this podcast.
Yep.
And not just the three of us, also Jen was there too. So that's the reason why she's on this podcast this week, because she also accompanied us through the screening. So Jen, why don't you tell us where you're coming from with The Evil Dead?
Sure. So this was a movie that I believe Dan suggested that we watch one night, because to be completely honest, I think when I did watch this, which was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe at this point, I probably wouldn't have picked it up myself. So he was like, oh, let's check out this movie. He's, to give a little bit of background, he's more of an older horror movie fan, where he's usually suggesting those movies for us to watch. I don't usually pick them myself. So luckily I agreed to watch it, and I liked it when we saw it. I believe I've watched the second movie, and I had watched the TV show that came out. I know that doesn't really count as a movie, obviously, but I mean, it's along the same storyline.
Evil Dead. Yeah.
It's canon.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's canon. And I really like Ash's character. I think he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. So also I played Dead by Daylight, and Ash is a survivor in Dead by Daylight. So there's a little bit of that there. So when I heard that we were going to go see this movie, I was really excited. I hadn't seen it in a while too, which was nice. I just think it's a great mix of funny and gory and creepy all rolled into one. And I feel like that kind of movie now, if it were to come out and be a new thing, it might not go so well. But I think it was just one of those, it's so bad, it's great kind of things. So I was on board for this one for sure.
Sure. Dan, what about you? Where are you coming from? Evil Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, as Jen mentioned, I recommended this to her. I've seen the Evil Dead trilogy, the original trilogy. I've seen it numerous times. It's weird. I think growing up, I remember seeing at the video rental store. I think it was Suncoast Video. I didn't have a Blockbuster, but it always captured me. The cover for Evil Dead 2 with the skull with the eyes in it, just looking right at you. Mm-hmm. That always caught my eye. And I believe the first one I saw, I think I almost went backwards. I saw Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2, Evil Dead growing up, because I didn't know any better. But yeah, I've seen it numerous times. I love this movie is right up my alley as well. Just practical effects, a ton of blood, so silly, so campy. Bruce Campbell is a hero to me. I love him. He's so cool. So when this was brought up, because we were going to Comic-Con and you brought this up, that this is something you can't pass up. You know, it's we've seen Back to the Future together for an anniversary. This is the second movie I've seen with you as an anniversary screening. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun seeing it with other people.
Yeah.
And we went, you know, we were exhausted after we saw this movie, because then we went out and, you know, we drank and we just had a ton of fun. We're being best buds. And then we watched Evil Dead 2, and it just didn't have the same feeling to it, just being us there. It was fun, obviously, but being in a crowded theater, I mean, some people were kind of obnoxious, like they knew what was going to happen, obviously, so they got to let you know that it's going to happen. But it's still a ton of fun seeing people react to it as if it's the first time. So I love this movie. I'm glad that we went and saw it again.
Yeah. So my history with Evil Dead, I think I saw the second one first on a VHS that my college roommate had brought up. So I hadn't seen any of them until college. And I've probably seen this maybe half dozen times at this point. I've really only seen Army of Darkness once. I'm not a huge fan of Army of Darkness. It's fine, but I think it just goes completely off the rails in weird places. So I'm not a huge fan of that one, but I do like Evil Dead. I do like Evil Dead 2. But like you said, seeing it in a theater with a crowd of people is kind of like almost revitalizing the feeling of watching this movie. Because now it's like, I've seen this movie before, this is a background movie now. I could put it on and just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm doing something while I do this, because I, you know, I've seen it so many times. But seeing it in theater was such a treat to have, because I forgot, because it, you know, it just, seeing it so much, it kind of lulls you into, yeah, I've seen it, blah blah blah. How it reminded me how funny the movie is, and just having that crowd reacting to stuff like Ash just having all kinds of trouble with bookcases and him shaking the shit out of Scotty and then falling on Scotty. Just those little like slapstick moments that, you know, when you're not watching it with a group of people, maybe just kind of like, oh, that's kind of funny. You say, oh, that's funny, rather than laughing at it. But in the crowd, it's a great time. I think this is my favorite of the three. I don't know if anybody has an opinion other than that, but watching Evil Dead 2 after, I maybe it was because I had a handful of drinks, I was so fucking confused. Mm-hmm. Even after watching the first one and then watching the second one immediately after, confused the fuck out of me. Because I was like, trying to, I think maybe Dan, maybe it was you asking questions, because maybe you were like in the other, like, what's going on and why is he back here and who's that? It's like, I don't know the answers to these questions, even though I'm clearly watching this right now.
I think you're right, man. It was a little unnecessary, I felt, because it's, as you explained it, this is the Raimi cut, essentially, right? It's, he wanted to make it a different way.
So
Evil Dead 2.
So this is basically what Taylor Swift is doing with all her music, as we were discussing.
That's right.
So for whatever reason, Sam Raimi lost the copyright, or just the rights to Evil Dead. So he decided to just remake it, I think is the reason Evil Dead 2 exists. So he made it and made it funnier. And just watching it just kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of, because it's a sequel. It's not a remake, because it is a sequel, but he's back in the same place, but he's acting like he's never been there before. And I'm sure there's probably like a huge fan of the Evil Dead series screaming while listening to this podcast, explaining it to us to deaf ears. But yeah. The rights to the show scenes from the original could not be obtained to recap what happened, so the beginning was remade to explain how Ash got to the cabin. I'm reading, trying to explain why this exists, but I didn't write it down. Or why Evil Dead 2 exists, but I didn't write it down. So we're going to skip it. I had such a good time. This has just made it so much better watching it that way. I'm so glad we were able to kind of figure that out, because I think we were just like, oh, it's coming back. I'm like, oh, but fuck, that's New York Comic Con weekend, and then we figured out that we were not that far from a theater showing it, because we were in New York City, and obviously it's going to show in New York City.
Yep.
This is a great time. I don't really have much more to say about that. There's one question. How necessary is the tree rape scene at this point?
God. I think in hindsight, yeah, it's rough. But in 1981, that's pretty shocking.
It's still fucking shocking. Like, I remember, so like this, that scene still gets a big reaction. It got a big reaction in the theater because it's so aggressive. Like, she gets tied up, and then that fucking huge piece of tree just goes right in between her legs. It's like, God damn, that's a lot.
Yeah. I think, Jen, you were saying that you hated that part. Right. You thought that was unnecessary as well.
I think, yeah. I mean, I get what you guys were saying about it being shocking, and they were obviously going for incredible shock value with it. I mean, they could have gone as far as just to have the tree tie her up and, like, you know, do whatever else except that. But I mean, you had the Silent Hill movie that essentially did something very similar at the end.
Are we comparing Silent Hill?
We're not comparing it. I'm just saying it's been done more recently than Evil Dead. So,
I think obviously Jen just said she prefers Silent Hill to this movie.
How dare you, lady?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to justify it, because you can imply it, or even, you know, the demons can get in or some other way, I suppose.
It's
still pretty shocking, though. Pretty visceral. Mm-hmm. Like, because there is that like moment where like you're seeing her, and then it just comes out of nowhere. I was like, Jesus, fuck.
That's a good point. Like, we had all seen it I mean, you, Aunt, you had said you'd seen the movie probably about 6 times, and it's still shocking, right? Like every time that you see it, you're like, this is never going to get any better, any easier to watch.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell even mentions it in the foreword. Like, you're about to watch a movie where, you know, a tree rapes a girl. So, you know, strap in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely earns its NC-17 rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, it's, you respect this movie for what it was able to accomplish on what it had budget-wise.
Oh, yeah. No, its inclusion does not make me dislike this movie whatsoever. Yeah. It's like, but it's, you could take a step back and be like, I wouldn't miss that scene if it's gone, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think
it's really a second and a half of what you could get rid of and makes it, you know, less in your face about it, you know, not even a second and a half, like a half a second is really all that you could probably lift and would be like, all right, that's less terrible.
But. So what would you guys rather have the tree do? Just like tie her up and that's it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think there are other ways demons could go in her without, you know, right up the chute.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think literally anything but rape.
Yeah, I mean, because the last shot of this movie is the camera going basically down Ash's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And for all intents and purposes, before the sequel came out, where the assumption is that he gets possessed that way.
Right.
That could totally work the same way.
Yeah.
Well, if we're being honest, isn't it all rape? Because right, the demon enters you without your permission.
Yes, 100%. It's without consent. All of this is unconsensual. However, you don't need to double down on it.
But again, it appears that it's going in one hole or the other.
Yeah,
with a demon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, you know, demon possession is all unconsensual in every single movie, every kind of incarnation of it. So yes, in that way, it is kind of a rape of sorts.
It'd be weird if it were, you know, you find out in The Exorcist, like Regan is just like, oh yeah, no, come on in, Pazuzu, my buddy.
Well, yeah, there is an exception, is Woodland Critter Christmas in the South Park episode.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle decides that he wants the demon to possess him so he can make the world better for the Jews.
I was going to say, if anyone was going to do that, it was obviously going to be Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
There you go. So that's the most consensual demon possession ever. Is that episode also one of the best episodes of South Park ever? But The Evil Dead from, I guess, 1981, we're going to call it because this is the 40th anniversary. It's directed by Sam Raimi, director of all three Evil Dead movies, not including the remake, Spider-Man 1-3, The Quick and the Dead, Simple Plan, For the Love of the Game, and Drag Me to Hell. Which one of these is not like the other? He's also featured as an actor in previous They Called This Movie episode, Maniac Cop. As a reporter, it stars Bruce Campbell, Ellen Sandweiss, Richard DeManincore, Betsy Baker, Teresa Tilly, and Ted Raimi shows up as what they call, all the demons something, which is a weird name. Fake Shemp. All of them are Fake Shemp, and Ted Raimi is one Fake Shemp. Budget, $350,000, but box office, $2.9 million. And its premiere on October 15th, 1981 in Michigan. So that is 40 years to the day after this episode will air, or we'll go live. IMDb score of 7.5 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 95%. This might be the highest we've ever had. I'm assuming it is.
Higher than the Snyder Cut, you're telling me?
We never covered the Snyder Cut.
Oh.
And as long as I'm on this podcast, we never will.
It's going to go in the same locker that Summer Catch goes in. Summer Catch, Sandals and Sand movies, and the Snyder Cut.
I'm telling you, I can make an argument that Summer Catch takes place on Halloween.
Oh, gosh.
I was going to do a joke text and say, and no, Mark, you can't pick Summer Catch. Don't worry, we have baseball movies coming up next spring, so you can put it in again.
I'd ride that horse. It's going to win one time, baby.
I was just saying, I want this to be a running gag of that. It's just, it's always in the poll and just never wins.
It's the Susan Lucci of our polls.
just be the fourth option for everything, regardless of what Christmas movies and summer kitsch. Okay, you guys want to get in the plot?
Let's do it.
Well, yeah.
All right, Dan, what do you got for us this week?
Okay, so I have been informed by Tia herself. We met up with Tia and Brittany at the con. Super sweet people. Go follow them on all social media platforms. Itty Bitty Brit, TC_Stark. Go follow them. They're awesome. But I was informed by Tia it is not the top 10 with Tia anymore, because they told me, how many times can we do a top 10 list? Soon they're going to run out. And that's a good idea.
That sounds like a challenge.
Well, they decided to switch it up. And now it's Tea Time with Tia and Brittany. So Tea Time with Tia and Brittany is a free flow podcast between Tia and Brittany, where they pick a topic and they go off on it as two friends, two good buddies, just talking about whatever. So listen to these two girls. They talk about movies, television, actors, actresses, you name it. It's basically the top 10, but it's just more free flow now. But you can find them at Geek Vibes Nation, gvnation.com. Go check them out there. Subscribe to them. And yeah, that's it.
Great. As probably they decided that we were giving them too many terrible ideas for top 10, so they just put an end to it, so they didn't have to follow through with it.
Well, they mentioned, like, oh, what's the top 10 horror movies? I mean, we did that 2 years ago. Yeah, okay. Well, it's like the Rolling Stones. We got to every so often, top 500 songs again. Yeah. But this time we're going to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to make everyone mad at us. All right, great. And we are going to take a quick break, and you guys are going to listen to some messages from friends of the podcast, and we will be back in a second.
Hey everyone, this is Steve.
And this is Adam.
And we're part of the Hop Nation USA podcast,
Pittsburgh's number 3 craft beer podcast.
Join us every Friday for new beer reviews.
We'll talk about the news, history, and homebrewing.
Plus, we'll sit down with the best brewers and industry personalities that'll have us.
So whether you're a casual drinker, a hazy boy hophead,
or even if you're a whale hunting cellar hoarder,
just search Hop Nation USA on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher and join the nation.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It's me, George, from the Best Little Horror House in Philly, the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest at least. We've talked about groundbreaking classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien, but we've also got a lot of great ones coming up, including some very fun guests like Len Kabaczynski of Swamp Zombies and Red Letter Media fame, Caroline Williams, the star of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Chase Williamson from John Dies at the End. So make sure you're subscribed to the Best Little Horror House in Philly, and I'll see you boils and ghouls over there.
And welcome back. So now it's time to get into the plot for The Evil Dead. We open on a swampy wooded marsh as the camera moves freely around the trees. We get a group of teens in a car traveling on a dirt road, happy-go-luckily singing a stupid fucking song. We have Ash in the back reading a map, Scotty driving, as well as Cheryl, Linda, and Shelly also in the car. They're headed up to a cabin in Ash's car for the weekend, and no one knows exactly why they got the cabin so cheap. They're suspecting it's in pretty bad shape. I'm pretty sure it's Scotty's uncle's or something like that. They almost run into a truck, thanks to Ash's steering wheel, and then turn off the beaten path to a secluded drive. So much so that the bridge is wooden and nearly falls apart as they drive over it. They finally make it to the cabin, which is in such a bad shape I wouldn't pay a dime for it. I don't care how cheap they got it. Scotty goes up to the door and retrieves the keys and goes inside while the girls and Ash unpack the car. Inside is basically the exact cabin you think it is. It's got a deer head over the fireplace. It looks damp as fuck. It even has a shed in the back that might have been had its own taxidermy tools in it. Basically, bad things are going to happen in this shed. So at night, Cheryl draws in her sketchbook near the window. As the wind picks up, she suddenly loses control over her hand and she scratches a drawing into the sketchbook against her will. Again, another against her will sort of thing. She winds up drawing some sort of face, and then from a cellar door in the floor, some knocking starts and then stops. At dinner, Ash tries to give a terrible speech in Greek, and then the cellar door swings open out of nowhere. After trying to reason away the occurrence, as if it was an animal or something, and goading each other to take a look, eventually Scotty goes and takes a flashlight down into the cellar. As he goes out of view, he goes quiet. Ash calls out to him, but there's no answer, so he goes down after Scotty. Ash goes down with the lantern when we get a sense of it being quite some time that someone has been down there. It's drippy, dusty, and probably has black mold.
You know what I thought was cool about this?
Sure.
Have you guys seen the Ash vs. the Evil Dead show at all?
I saw like the first few episodes.
Okay.
I have not.
So, Jen, I know you were saying we mm-hmm. both watched it.
Yeah.
They go back to the cabin at one point. It might have been season 2 or 3, but it's almost an exact replica. And even the basement, it's like I recognized it because it had been so long from seeing the movie. But just by seeing the Ash vs. the Evil Dead show, like, man, they pretty much nailed it. Like how it looks and like really damp and dark and dirty. All the placement of the wall, the pipes. It was cool to see that they put that kind of love and attention into the show. Because you know, they mm-hmm. could have like, oh, you know, that movie came out 40 years ago. We could have renovated it a little bit or whatever. But no, they kept it. It's your quintessential, you know, haunted house, cabin in the woods kind of feeling to it. It really set the tone.
Sure. Question, how much would it take you to stay in that cabin for a night?
Oh, man. I'm going to say, man, I am so cheap. If you were to dangle like $50,000 in front of me, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay, cool. Jen, what about you?
Real quick. I think okay. Dan would choose to go to that cabin because it was the cheapest thing he could find.
but at the same time, I'm also very much chicken shit.
It'd be a hard decision.
It would be like, man, like, because this would help me so. And it would be one of those things where the guy would have like $250,000 in the briefcase, right, ready to show it to me. But like, oh, you know, $50,000. Oh, well, that's exactly how much I have. Yeah. Lucky
well,
you.
Well, okay, you yeah. drive a hard bargain. Exactly. But
Dan will go on Airbnb. It's like, $20 a night, 3 stars. Yep. That's not terrible.
I'll take that.
It's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
You just ruined my anniversary plans. Way to go.
I guess I'll be booking because now I don't trust where we're going to end up. Oh my gosh.
I think I'd get like 10 grand is the number that popped in my head. I feel like it's a little low, but to be honest, that's the number I thought of.
Okay.
I feel like it is a little low. I'd probably say like 15 grand. Yeah. I wouldn't go much higher though. I'd be happy with that.
Oh, so you guys are cheaper than I am already. That's interesting. Now,
just to clarify, this is what someone's paying me to stay there?
Right. Yeah, I'm not paying 10 grand to go.
Definitely not.
I'm just wondering why the number's so low. I'm asking for at least 6 figures.
Oh boy, okay.
Damn.
Mark's noping right the fuck out of this whole scenario.
You give me enough money to pay off all of my student loans and I will go stay in that cabin for a night.
When we thought of the amount that we're saying that we need to be paid, did we like get a tour first? Did we see the listing? Do we know nothing about it? Like, how much information do we have going into it?
I would say that you have as much information as Scotty here.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's just a shitty cabin, but it was cheap. So
yeah, of course.
Okay, then we wouldn't know that there's like a demon infested house that we're about to stay in.
But I feel like we would also, all three of us, be way smarter than to read from a book made
exactly.
human flesh.
So we would just have an uncomfortable night, and that's
well,
it.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll get to it, but
yeah,
they don't actually read from it. Some asshole does without giving spoiler alerts.
Right. That would be great if the recording's like, all right, if you don't want to hear this, skip to 5 minutes into the recording.
I mean, it's essentially a podcast they're listening to. Like, if we were here and we got a hold of a book that apparently has human skin on it, and we knew, it's not like this guy was just like, oh, I don't know what these words mean. He literally says, this book is used to summon the dead, and this is the words in it. Blah, 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 blah. If I came across that and I was going to read it, I'd be like, all right, everybody, I'm about to summon demons.
None of us don't want to stop you.
If you don't want me to summon demons currently, probably don't want to listen to this part.
Smash that subscribe button.
Common courtesy. I mean, now you go on Twitter and people will just be like, can you believe it? You say this and then it conjures demons. Like, well,
someone would definitely side with you.
Oh, yeah.
Right, with the discourse on Twitter, someone would be like, well, it's not his fault. They shouldn't have been fucking listening.
Yeah. He probably wouldn't be a person that I would want siding with me either.
It never is.
Eventually, Scotty jumps out to scare Ash and then shows him the stuff he found, which is just red flag after red flag, including a book with a weird face on it, a dagger with a skull handle, and a ripped The Hills Have Eyes poster.
They head back. Odd decor choice. Yeah.
So I was reading, I was trying to figure out, because I did read this one at one point. So I believe, so Wes Craven did The Hills Have Eyes. And I believe this was a response to him having a ripped Jaws poster in The Hills Have Eyes, saying it's like The Hills Have Eyes is replacing Jaws as the scariest movie ever.
Oh,
so then The Evil Dead is now replacing The Hills Have Eyes as the scariest movie ever. I think they continue it for a couple more movies. I don't really remember which ones, but yeah.
I will say I did enjoy The Evil Dead more than The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of, I'm not a big fan of Wes Craven's early stuff. Last House on the Left, that's a tough one to watch too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And terrible music choices in it.
Yeah. Well, again, such a shoestring budget, you know?
Yeah. Later, they head back upstairs with a tape player they found down in the cellar and sit around with the girls and play the tape. And also threaten violence on the girls, thanks to Scotty, who just wants to break her face.
Wow. I forgot about that.
That was the highlight of the movie.
That was an audible gasp in the theater.
Yeah.
Yep.
Too many people laughed at it, though, myself being
it
included.
Was hilarious.
Yeah. But because it just, right, it escalates out of nowhere.
Yeah. Just like joking around with him. He's like, I'm going to break your face.
Yeah. So matter-of-factly. It's like, oh, yeah, what if I break your face? Like, oh, shit. Again, nowadays, if we're all hanging out and Mark is joking around with Jen and Mark says, Jen, I'm going to break your face. I feel like one of us would be like, hey, dude. Hey,
like, whoa,
pull it back a little bit. But Scotty 100% beats his girlfriend, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just not because, not just that. I mean, the treatment he has towards everybody in this movie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
he does not hesitate to just axe the fuck out of his own girlfriend, and he doesn't hesitate to leave Linda gone. He's like, no, fuck her. I don't really give a shit what happens to her. I'm getting out of here. So he probably, you know, knuckles up to her.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Keeps her in her place. Yeah.
I mean, I think why Ash is such a milquetoast kind of guy in the beginning, to kind of show that kind of discrepancy, the difference. Because sure. he eventually becomes the hero that he needs to be. But I think, you know, he can't kill his girlfriend mm-hmm. because really, who can?
Right.
You put yourself into his shoes, you're kind of like, all right, well, he's kind of being a bitch, but I get why he's being a bitch.
Yeah, it's such a cool, because anyone who has seen the Evil Dead series, they know that, you know, Ash Williams is the protagonist, but he's definitely not made out that way at first. He cedes everything to Scotty.
Yeah,
you know, it's
Scotty's a man of action in the beginning.
Exactly, and it's a good character arc for sure. It's not, this guy is just, he's the hero the entire time. He's brave as fuck, willing to do what needs to be done, and gets the girl. It's not like this guy, he's a regular guy, you know? And he's being harassed by demons, and he doesn't know what to do about it.
Yeah. It's such an interesting arc from where he starts off here and where he ends up, like, by the end of Army of Darkness.
Yeah, he becomes a total douche.
Exactly. On the tape is some sort of archaeologist that talks about his findings and some ancient Sumerian ruins, including the book, which has a cover made from human flesh and calls it the Book of the Dead. It's a book that is used to summon demons. Cheryl turns it off because she's scared, and then Scotty turns it back on, and the guy on the tape starts reciting the incantations. I feel like there should be like a spoiler alert before you start doing incantations on recording. As the incantations continue, Cheryl freaks out, begging for someone to shut it off. He screams, and then a tree crashes through a window, and Cheryl runs into one of the bedrooms.
Yeah, you would think as soon as I start hearing incantations on a tape recorder, I would shut that tape recorder off.
Right.
Like, I think we've heard enough. Who wants to play cards?
You got a nice pack of Uno here.
Yeah. Scotty just needed to listen.
Yeah.
Who would anybody want to play Go Fish or Let's Keep Raising Cthulhu?
Right.
Fucking men, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, again, one of us would have definitely stopped, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't believe in ghosts, but don't get me around a Ouija board, man. No, thank you.
Oh, that's Jen too. Jen's all about anytime you see a Ouija board, right? Like, ooh, a Ouija board. Like, I don't know what it is.
I mean, sure.
It's the other side calling to me, I think.
I mean, it's got it, you know, it's brought to you by Milton Bradley, so it's probably safe. But
right. Yeah.
You know what? I don't fucks with the devil, man.
It's that one, you know, in Child's Play, that one doll that gets possessed. Maybe you have that one Milton Bradley Ouija board.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. Spill the blood of a satanic cultist.
Yeah. and they just put it in with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And Scotty's attitude in this very much gives me the vibes of a dude that would say that he could fight a wolf with his bare hands.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, Scotty totally could. Yeah. He'd know exactly how to do it too.
Yeah, that's why he's not scared of invitations. Bring on the demon! I'll fight it with my bare hands.
Everyone thinks they're a demon fighter until it's time to fight demons.
After everyone has settled down, Linda and Ash sit down on the couch. She goes to check on Cheryl. When she comes back, Ash has produced a small box and pretends to be asleep. After some back and forth, Ash stops pretending to be asleep and gives her the box, which holds a necklace with the magnifying glass on it. She loves it. They kiss. This is the most boring part of the movie.
It's the ugliest gift I've ever seen.
It's a very strange gift.
That thing looks like it cost $2.
They probably won it in a crane game, right. And they were like, this is going to be the gift.
Oh, yeah. Or it's like someone's grandmother's. Can we just raid your jewelry box real quick?
Yeah.
We just need something.
What's the symbolism there?
I don't know.
It's a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know.
It doesn't even have her birthstone on it.
Strange complaint to make.
That's how Dan gauges jewelry, whether or not it contains a birthstone.
Honestly, though.
That's like the highest you could do.
He's given me several gifts with my birthstone, though.
Exactly. Wait, I thought women love that stuff.
That's really cute.
Are they all heart-shaped jewelry, too?
Might have been. I can't. No, it was just like a little pendant.
Yeah, there was like a necklace. There was a ring. There was earrings.
I hate to break it to you, Jen, but I think it's the only thing Dan remembers about you.
Her birthday's in May. Damn it.
hold on. Can we at least come to the agreement that gift is better than a magnifying glass?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I rest my case.
It's a necklace that is also a magnifying glass. Maybe she reads a lot? I don't know. Right.
I just imagine that Dan walks into the local K jewelers and the guy behind the thing is like, oh, here's my amethyst. You're back.
Dan's got a birthstone guy.
Yeah. He just sees him coming and he pulls out the box.
It's like my Jamba Juice guy.
God.
Whenever I go, he just rings me up a medium white gummy with whey protein.
Wow, I didn't know that either. I'm learning so much about my husband tonight. Who knew?
Everyone's got to have a guy.
Yeah. Dan, I'd like to see this version of Uncut Gems.
Well, Dan, our
anniversary gift shopping.
Our anniversary is coming up in a few weeks, so stay tuned for...
What is he saying? Oh. This is how I gamble, or this is how I win. This is how I win. Birthstones.
Dan's checking his phone to make sure he still has the receipt.
Yep.
Oh, no, I have a NBA player breathing down my neck, so I need to be careful. I loaned out...
It's Kyrie Irving.
He's weighing whether or not he could still give you a birdstone jewelry. In a couple of weeks, man, it's really kind of blew up my spot just now.
Let's be honest here. You've ruined my getaway by showing her that I'm taking her to a cabin in the woods, and then you've ruined the gift. Is there anything else you'd like to ruin, Aunt?
Destroy
our anniversary.
But here, like, get her a magnifying glass on a chain. She'll never see it coming.
That's true. Yeah, like, because it's just dumb enough, right? Or something like, there's no way he would do it. And he did it.
Yep.
You can't be mad at that.
No. Yeah, you kind of have to laugh.
Yeah, I might still get mad at it. But we'll see. You never know.
Or would it be one of those things where, like, oh, you know, well, like how the girl in the movie is. Like, oh, I love it. But do you really?
They're dating, so it's different.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, because It's assumed that he works a part-time job, right? He probably works at S-Mart still. Maybe he just started. And he's making, you know, what was minimum wage back then? $3.50?
Probably, yeah.
So, yeah, he's making $3.50. That's all he could afford. There's 3 months' paycheck right there.
And you could use it to do the crossword puzzles.
Right?
Right, yeah. So maybe we're the assholes here.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It's beautiful and practical.
But we all know women hate practical gifts.
Wow.
We all know that. If it makes sense, they don't want it.
I don't know what that means, and I'm kind of offended, but I don't know why.
You guys need a new washer or a dryer?
I like stuff like that.
Well, okay. No, actually, I don't want to spend money.
Yeah,
on
there you go.
That is a lot of money. And something watches them outside and moves from window to window around cabin, peering in. Watches Shelly change, then goes to Cheryl's window and makes a lot of noise. So much so that she ventures out of the cabin to investigate, which, yeah, you're already afraid about demons being summoned. Do not go outside. She walks out in the dead of night, into the middle of the night. If there weren't demons out there, she'd be lucky to find her way back to the house. She calls out to the woods, saying she knows someone is out there, and the demons start calling out to her, saying, "Join us!" And the trees attack her, tie her around her limbs and neck, and start tearing off her clothes, and then is raped by a tree. Shocking to still to this day, visceral and arguably completely unnecessary. She eventually manages to break the hold the trees have on her limbs and stumbles her way back to the cabin while the evil forces are bearing down on her. After finding the keys above the doorframe, she fumbles with the key ring, screaming for someone to help her. She drops the key ring in her frantic attempt to unlock the door, but Ash opens the door just in time and she runs in. She comes in and says that there wasn't something in the woods that attacked her. It was the woods, and that she wants to leave. So everyone tells her she's crazy, but she convinces Ash that regardless of whether or not she's crazy, he's going to bring her into town and find a hotel for her for the night. And they go into the car, stalls a few times before eventually starting, and they drive off, trying to make it back to the main road. Get back to the bridge and get lost in the dark, so Ash gets out of the car to make sure that he can find the bridge. He goes stomping through the dark woods for a while, and Cheryl gets out to look for him. She comes across the bridge, which looks like it has been destroyed. She runs back to the car, and Ash comes out of the woods and scares her, and she breaks down, screaming about how the woods are not going to let them leave. So they go back to the cabin, and Ash continues to listen to the recording as the girls are occupying their time and Scotty chops wood outside. Shelly starts quizzing Linda on a deck of cards to try and see if she has ESP. Shelly acts like she's getting them right, but Linda is not. And then Cheryl, who's staring out the window, starts naming each card in the deck in sequential order as her voice starts to grow deeper.
And I feel 100% that you would be the one lying about if we were getting the cards right.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, Ace of Spades. How about
I mean, it would be your fault for not asking to confirmation of showing me. Yeah. If you believe me, then that's on you.
Yep.
So Cheryl whoops her head around to reveal her eyes are white and her face looks different. And she levitates and curses those that have interrupted her slumber in an evil demon voice, saying one by one they will die. And then she flops to the floor. Scotty comes in and is like, well, what happened to her? Scotty's the best. And Ash approaches Cheryl slowly. And then she shoots up like the Undertaker and stabs Linda in the heel with a pencil.
It's that scene. It's fake, but it's real enough looking where you feel it in your ankle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and they hang on it.
They do. They like pull on it and stretch it.
Yeah. And then she's okay. Like a little while after, she's sleeping. She's sleeping. You'd be writhing in pain all night.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you found this with anything you've read and over the years and stuff, but from that pre-roll stuff that they played with the Q&A with Bruce Campbell. I wonder if the pencil thing was any kind of callback to the story he told about Raimi, you know, just in class pushing the pencil into the back of his neck.
Oh, maybe.
That's a good point.
That's a good one, yeah. Yeah. Didn't think of that.
I was trying to think how, like, because we never actually, I'm assuming that's when Linda gets infected by the demon?
Yeah.
Right? Because we never see her, like, she is in the back room. I guess technically anything could have gotten her at any time, but we don't ever see it other than this right here.
Mm-hmm. I think technically when they go back, don't they have a shot of her leg? Like
yes, they do.
And all that.
Yeah. Like when she turns, it drastically changes. He looks at her and then she turns.
Yeah.
But that's like several scenes later. But so then she slaps Linda across the room and knocks Ash into a bookshelf, which then falls on top of Ash, trapping him under 7 pounds of wood.
His biggest nemesis.
Yeah. He gets all tangled in it.
Ash versus bookcases. That's what this movie should be called.
Foiled again by this cheap hunk of this cheap plywood.
Yeah. She then starts approaching Ash to attack him again, but Scotty hits her with the blunt end of the axe, knocking her to the ground, then kicks her down the open cellar door, and then locks the chain over the door. So they put Linda to bed to heal from the attack. The rest of the group tries to plan what to do as Demon Cheryl makes animalistic noises as she peeks up from the cellar.
So good. It's so iconic.
One of the major things about what makes this movie work so well is the sound design. Mm-hmm. Like, even from all the screaming and the noises that these demons making to just the sounds in the cellar are just like phenomenal.
Yeah, it is very animalistic. That's a good way to describe it. And it's very effective. It's you don't even, at least to me, you don't get annoyed by it, because there are some movies where, for instance, we just covered Basket Case, and we talked about how the sound design of the monster, the twin, what was his name again?
Belial.
Belial's sound design is just him kind of like moaning and like shrieking. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I've kind of had enough of this really quickly. But when the demons show up and they're mocking the survivors, and the demons outside saying to join us, it's really, it's so unique, and it's really something that adds to the atmosphere of the movie. I love it so much.
Yeah, I think, because in the difference is Belial is just screaming. It's not, and in this movie it's more, it's part of the sound design, you know. It's like, yeah, it puts you in that cabin of like, why doesn't she just fucking shut up?
Right. Yeah, it's something that I feel like anyone who's seen The Evil Dead, they would remember having Linda, right? Linda's in the
Cheryl's in the cellar.
Cheryl's in the cellar.
Linda's the one that like sits down in the doorframe.
And she sings, and it's like they make the most of it. It's incredible what you could do with even just a little bit of money, you know, and that much talent. It's incredible.
Yeah. So Scotty starts a fire and Linda looks out the window, swearing she sees something outside. Scotty comforts her and tells her, this is like Shelly. He comforts Shelly and tells her to go to the bedroom and get some sleep. As she does, goes to the bedroom window and looks out, and something crashes in. Shelly screams and Scotty goes in and sees what happens. And he sees the broken window, but he doesn't see Shelly. He searches the room and the closet, doesn't see her. But as he turns around, she grabs him by the neck and scratches his face with her long-ass nails. He comes stumbling out of the room with Demon Shelly grabbing onto him, and they struggle until he pushes her off and into the burning fire. So he pulls her out of the fire, and Demon Shelly thanks him for pulling her out of the fire and then wants to take Scotty's skin. So they wrestle some more, and she tries to stab him with that skull dagger. Ash tries to come to Scotty's rescue, but he gets knocked into another bookcase.
How many bookcases are in this cabin?
Definitely feels like a Mel Brooks sort of thing. Or like, right. Yeah. Sideshow Bob and the Rakes.
I was just going to say it's Sideshow Bob. That'll never get old. That's such a good bit.
Yeah. As Shelly continues to try and stab Scotty, Scotty pulls out his own knife from his waistband and stabs her in the hand. Shelly starts making guttural noises and then bites her own hand off. All the while, Ash is paralyzed with fear in the corner with an axe. Scotty then stabs Demon Shelly with a skull dagger in the back, and she makes wild screams for a long time until she collapses and starts spewing out milk everywhere from her mouth and her now stump hand. She stops writhing around, so Scotty goes to check the body. As he gets close, she comes back and grabs by the leg. Scotty pleads with Ash to kill her with an axe, but he can't, so Scotty grabs the axe and goes to town on her body, chopping her up to about a dozen pieces. Even as she's in pieces, the parts just flop around on the floor. After fountains of blood and several axe swings, Scotty says they have to bury her now. And one of my favorite lines is when Ash says, "We can't bury her, she's a friend of ours." Which doesn't make any sense in any kind of logic.
It's, It's usually what you do to your loved ones.
Yeah, you would want to give them a proper burial.
We just got to leave her here for the buzzards.
So they go out and bury Shelly and then go back to the cabin to figure out next steps. Scott says that they should drive out immediately, but Ash says that Linda is in no condition to leave now, and they don't know if there's another way out besides the bridge. Scotty says that he's leaving no matter what because he doesn't care about what happens to Linda, and he's going to go by foot to find a trail. So he heads out, and Ash goes to check on Linda. He takes a look at her foot, where she got stabbed, and he sees the wound progress worse and worse before his eyes, and then she shoots up with the same white eyes and demon faces as the other. Ash stumbles back, then makes his way to the front door. When he opens it, Scotty stumbles into him, bloodied and beaten. Ash puts him on the couch as demon Linda watches from the doorway. Ash tries to get information from half-dead Scotty, shaking him more than a guy with several broken bones should be shaken.
This is the best part of the movie.
It really
Scotty,
is.
Scotty, wake up.
He's got like bones poking out of his like shirt.
He does.
Yeah. I think his wrist, like his arm bone is poking out through his wrist.
Yeah. It must be torture. Every single movement that he makes must be just agony.
That's the probably number one rule is to not shake a trauma victim.
Yeah, like don't move him.
Right.
The hell, I won't move him. I need answers.
Not only does he shake him, he stumbles over him, falls into him.
Yeah, pushes him off the couch.
That's right. If he wasn't dead when he walked in, Ash kills him.
Absolutely. Then Demon Linda starts cackling like a mad woman. Scotty tells Ash to kill her. Instead, he slaps her a couple times and holds the rifle to her head. She then turns back into normal Linda, pleading with Ash to help her and not let them take her again. So he drops the rifle and they embrace. Then normal Cheryl starts calling from the cellar, saying that she's okay now and wants to come outside. So Ash slowly approaches the cellar and starts to call out to Cheryl, but then a hand breaks out of the floor and grabs him. He pulls away and yells at the demons to stop torturing him, and Demon Linda is back, mocking him, so he grabs her by the legs and drags her out of the door and then goes back to the house. Ash tries to force feed Scotty water, telling him that the sun is going to be up in an hour and then they can try to get out of there, but Scotty doesn't take any drinks because he's basically dead.
I love it.
And then Ash hears Linda laugh from outside. He goes to the window to look and doesn't see anything. But as he turns around, she's in the house and stabs him in the arm with a skull dagger. She comes back at him and tries to stab him again. They fight and he pushes her into the wall. She pushes him into Scotty, knocking Scotty onto the floor. They struggle over the dagger until Ash manages to turn the dagger on Linda and stabs her with it. And she falls to the ground, spitting up more milk. He moves Scotty's body and then brings Linda to the shed. He straps her down to the workbench with some chains and plans to chop her up with a chainsaw. Buddy bitches out and he cries over her body. So instead, he digs another hole and puts her in to bury her. Buries her, but she grabs him from under the mound and pulls herself out, and they start to struggle again. He tries to knock her out by hitting her with a big piece of wood, but she grabs it, and then they struggle until he goes flying. She then goes to jump on him, but he grabs a shovel and knocks her head clean off her body, lands on him, spewing blood all over him. Goes back into the cabin and sees the cellar door has been opened and Cheryl is nowhere to be found. So he grabs a rifle and goes around the cabin looking for her, and she surprises him by jumping out at him from outside through a broken window. He shoots at her through the window and then goes to the door and struggles with it till he eventually pushes it closed, catching her fingers in the door. He then goes to the back to close that door, then realizes he's out of shells for the gun, but he saw some, unfortunately, in the cellar. So he goes down to the cellar, and it's still real fucking drippy. There's a pipe that's leaking, and it breaks open, spewing blood all over him. And at that point, blood starts dripping from everywhere. The light switches, the outlets, the light bulbs, the walls. Phonograph starts playing out of nowhere. A projector starts playing and blood is dripping on it. It's fucking wild. This is a great scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's such a good use of blood. They don't cheap out on the blood.
Yeah, I was reading. Okay, Mark.
I was going to say, the practicalness of the blood over the lens, projecting onto Ash, onto the screen, is probably one of my favorite single shots the entire.
That's great. I was reading on trivia that Bruce Campbell was so caked in blood at the end of every shoot day that he would go back to wherever he was, hotel or where he was staying at the time, in the back of the flatbed of a pickup truck, because he couldn't go into the seat, he couldn't sit in anything because he was just drenched in blood, in fake blood.
He would probably stick to the seat.
Yeah, so they also said that there was one point where his wardrobe, his shirt, got so caked in the fake blood that it had dried, and when he went to go put the shirt back on, it broke.
Oh, wow.
Snapped.
That was probably the fountain shooting out of the wall, I'd imagine, right?
Probably, yeah.
God, it's like gallons and gallons.
Yeah. He eventually finds the shells, yelling at the voices of his demon-possessed friends while he does so. He goes back upstairs and the clock starts striking an odd hour and the shutters start flapping like crazy. Mirrors are turning at the pools of water. Just craziness. He shoots out the window and just generally starts to freak the fuck out. As he reloads the gun, he hears footsteps on the roof and he remembers the necklace that he pulled off Linda's body before he buried her and is sad again. The necklace that will be in Jen's possession in a couple weeks.
The very same.
Then two hands come busting out the door and Cheryl tries to strangle Ash. He breaks away and he puts a chest in front of the doors to block it. Then Scotty comes alive as a demon Scotty and he tries to kill Ash. Ash pushes both of Scotty's eyes out of their sockets and Scotty lets him go. And then Ash pulls a foreign object out of Scotty's torso and the wound spews blood. Things go flying and the Book of the Dead winds up near the fire. Ash goes to get it and push it in further, but Cheryl comes blasting through the door and Scotty grabs him by the legs, holding him back. So Ash grabs the necklace and tries to use it as a lasso to try and grab the book. As Cheryl and Scotty both attack him, Cheryl hitting him with a fire poker and Scotty climbing up his legs, biting him as he goes. I'm surprised that doesn't turn Ash into a demon. After several failed attempts, Ash manages to grab the book with a necklace and tosses the book further into the fire. Immediately, both Scotty and Cheryl start to decompose in some amazing stop motion. Also, enormous hands come busting out of them along with bugs and creamed corn, maybe. The hand scene was pretty sweet when a giant, like, claw-like hand just comes out of Cheryl's chest.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that whole part is, again, the practical effects and everything are just, for that time period, yeah, like, obviously it's super dated and all that, but it's such a cool idea, I think. Mm-hmm. And, like, the stop animation, the creature designs, it's a lot of fun. It's just so fun, I think. You don't get that with a lot of the newer horror movies. I think also, newer horror movies really focus more on ghosts and paranormal.
Yeah, where most newer horror movies are paranormal sort of series.
Right. You're not getting a true monster fest kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a creature feature.
Yeah. I guess it's paranormal too.
Yeah, but I mean, you're still getting
the gore.
Yeah. I mean, even Malignant, you know, it kind of borderlined on paranormal. And a little bit of creature, but not really.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of other. I mean, obviously you have Michael Myers coming out soon, Halloween Kills, but that's just your slasher flick. You don't really have too many. You don't get Pumpkinhead anymore, right? You're not getting those kind of creatures.
No.
So it's good to see in this.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wish they would use it a little bit more. But
practical effects.
Yeah. Yeah. And it always cracks me up when it'll be like, this director swore that, and it's like Jurassic World. Like, they weren't going to use CGI. Okay. Yeah. You're not going to use CGI in the fucking Jurassic World sequels. Like, give me a break, man. Of course you're going to use CGI. These people, they weren't using, there was no CGI. So you had to really be creative.
Yeah, definitely. Especially for $350,000.
Right. Yeah. That was my boomer speech, by the way. Yep. These fucking CGI kids.
Old man yells at clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
So they splatter around until there's nothing left but a pile of viscera. And then it's sunrise and Ash has survived the night. Steps out to greet the morning, but a demon comes from the woods, bolts through the back door, through the front, and into Ash. Then we cut to black. And that is the end of The Evil Dead. What a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Probably way too good for this podcast, but I'm going to let this one slide because it's a ton of fun. And it's campy as fuck, so it totally fits. And it's October.
Is it better than RoboCop?
I think it's on the same level.
Yeah.
They're both very B. They have that campy B feel to it.
Sure.
But RoboCop has the bigger production budget, for sure.
You go to your local video store. Mm-hmm. They're sold out of all the movies. This is a hypothetical 2021 where they actually still have video stores.
Sure.
They've only got two movies. We got RoboCop and they got The Evil Dead. Which one are you choosing?
I'm going RoboCop.
Okay. Mark's got to pick RoboCop, right?
Yeah, I like RoboCop better.
I'm gonna mix it up. I'm gonna say The Evil Dead.
Oh, Jen, would you tie it?
I've only seen like 20 minutes of the original RoboCop, and I think the acting in it, you know what, maybe I'm going to ruin friendships right now. I'm just going to say Evil Dead.
No.
It's all tied.
Sorry, all I didn't help anything.
This is why we need the fifth member of the podcast.
We need to bring in someone random right now.
No, listen, that's a tough choice. I do like, because RoboCop, again, has the little bit better budget value. It has some very iconic quotes and scenes. I mean, he shoots a guy's dick off.
That's great. I think I default horror. I think that's really just what it is. Like if there was a toss up, mm-hmm. and one's horror and one's not horror, I'll pick horror.
I'm probably like that too.
That's totally fair. I get it.
All right. That's really it. Unless anyone who wants to talk about how they'd make this better, besides the one scene we would get rid of that we talked about already.
The one scene that you guys will get rid of.
Yes. Dan is pro that scene.
I'm pro tree. No, I'm kidding. I still think for its time period, it's shocking and all that. I don't think it really held the same weight that it does now. You know what I mean? Sure. Like in our time period, we were able to kind of step back and be like, oh, all right, well, yikes. But back then it was more just, oh, this is for shock. Mm-hmm. And that was it, I think. There was nothing else really implicated, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why it lifts right out is because it's purely there for shock value.
Sure.
It doesn't progress the plot in a way that some other way couldn't. Because there are 4 other people in this movie that get possessed and only one gets raped by a tree.
Yeah.
That's sort of the point.
And honestly, if I had watched this as a first time viewer, if you just lifted that scene out, I wouldn't sit there like, man, you know what? This scene, it's missing something.
Right.
This woman, I don't know why. I just feel like she needs to be penetrated by a tree.
Right.
That's obviously not going to jump into anyone's mind, hopefully.
And we're not here. We're not trying to cancel Sam Raimi. It's just, it lifts right out.
No. Yes.
Right out, same experience.
I mean, Spider-Man 3 did that for him.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that tree rape scene comes out of nowhere.
In Spider-Man, yeah. Thing. Poor Gwen. Just like, where were you, Spidey? Huh? Where were you on that one?
On that note, let's wrap it up so we can go home. Jen, why don't you tell us where we can find you?
So I am at Roxy Foxy. Again, that's RoxiiFoxii on Twitch, on Instagram. Actually, it has an underscore TTV after it. And then on Twitter, it is Roxy Foxy as well.
Okay, great. And you guys can plug your shit too.
At DAquino122 is my personal Twitter account. We also have our Real Play D&D account at Stranger Damies. Check there for updates. Anything else, comic book, D&D related. We enjoy talking to you guys, and that's about it for me.
Yeah. So we have our D&D podcast, Stranger Damies, airs every other Wednesday. There'll be an episode next week. I don't know if the next one will be within 2 weeks, because I'm probably going to try and stretch it out a little bit, depending on with Extra Life and all coming up, which I'll talk about later. Trying to make it so everyone's caught up by the time we stream live for that. But definitely an episode next week. It'll be the first episode of our sessions together in person for the first time in over a year. So it's very interesting. You guys will notice a difference in interaction. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, as Dan mentioned, at Stranger Damies. Please like and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. And then we have our gaming podcast, the Game Vault Pod. Airs every other Monday. There was an episode on Tuesday, just because we were a little delayed, because we were at New York Comic Con. So we wanted to make sure we got that experience out of the way before recording the podcast. So be sure to check that out. Instagram and Twitter at Game Vault Pod. And we also have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/GameVaultPod, where we stream 3 nights a week. Mondays is basically Tom's retro streams. Wednesday is our multiplayer first-person shooter or co-op stream. Currently, I think we're going to be playing Back for Blood for the foreseeable future. We had some fun with that on Wednesday that just passed. And then Thursdays, me and Jen do co-op streams, or at least it's my co-op streams that me and Jen are currently going through. It Takes Two. So be sure to check that all out. And real quick, Extra Life, we finally have a date. This is the first time on this podcast that I can mention it. We will be doing our 24-hour marathon starting 9 a.m. on November 13th. So that is the week after Extra Life Day. So you can watch all your, you know, big name streamers and stuff that do it on Extra Life Day and then come and support us the next week. As we'll be there playing a whole bunch of different games, probably first-person shooters. There's a new Jackbox Party Pack out that should be pretty good. And just, you know, blowing through a whole bunch of games and just having some fun and raising some money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So we hope you guys can join us then. And there may or may not be an actual wheel. We still got to figure that out. So stay tuned to the Twitters for that.
Okay, great. And we are They Call This Movie. You can find us on all podcast streaming apps just by searching They Call This Movie. Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. We are also themaindamey.com. That's our main website. And we are currently going through 31 Days of Horror right now. I've got a bunch of movies that I have backlogged that I have to write articles for. But go to themaindamey.com and you will find 31 Days of Horror as well as all links to our other shows. We're also on all socials just by searching The Main Damey. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just search The Main Damey and we'll pop right up. We're also on TikTok under They Called This Movie. So find some TikTok videos of us dancing, maybe on TikTok. Just look for They Called This Movie. And we are part of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com and on all socials and all podcast streaming apps just by searching Geek Vibes Nation. Tons of great shows. If you're into geek stuff, there's surely a show for you. If you want to suggest a movie to us, you can go to maindamey@gmail.com. And if you got some time, we would really appreciate some reviews. Just go on your podcatcher of choice. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us you love us. Tell us you suck. But as long as you give us a 5-star review, I really don't care what you say. That's going to wrap us up this week. The director of The Evil Dead is Sam Raimi. So for Jen, Dan, and Mark, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Sam Raimi, well, you certainly made a movie, didn't you?
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.